Jack Daniel's whiskey at 1.5 is how the folks round here have been living their lives. Waking and baking every morning at 8, make it to work, they're always late, living by the top.
Welcome back to the Chet Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5, 251-343-0106. That's the Ascension Technologies text line. You need to say anything to me, do it on a text. That's the American way now. Coming up, or joining us now on the line, our very own congressman from the 1st Congressional District here in Alabama, Jerry Carl, on the line with us. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff Poor. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Thanks for asking. I hope you're doing well as well. Let's start here. I watch you the Sunday shows and some of the committee chairmen. The two topics. We'll hit one of the, we'll hit impeachment first. Kevin McCarthy talking about an impeachment inquiry into Merrick Garland allegedly suppressing a Hunter Biden investigation. Is this? I didn't have Merrick Garland as being at the top of the list, but I think this is where I assume the Constitution is telling him to go on this Hunter Biden stuff.
Well, I certainly can't argue with leadership. The Garland stuff, I would certainly go after and go after quickly. We've got to stop the bleeding down at the border. And until we put the right amount of pressure on Garland to do that, and an impeachment may be one of many steps. So we need to do that one. As far as Hunter Biden and the president, I'm kind of liking the direction it's going right now, in that there's a lot of information that we still have not received, that we still need to get uncovered. If we go through the impeachment process now, I don't know what kind of cover that will create for the president and of Hunter Biden. I don't understand the legal system there well enough, but I would be very cautious in wanting to impeach him for the sake of impeaching him. You know, let's put everything together. We've got enough now to hang him, not literally, but to do what we need to do. But there's at least two more bank accounts that we have not got access to. So everyone needs to be patient. We can put some pressure on the people we need to put pressure on from the committees. But again, from an impeachment standpoint, will that create an atmosphere that they can shut down and say, we don't have to give it to you now because of this impeachment process that you guys started? So we need somebody much smarter than I to figure that out. So I'll be very cautious about wanting to do these quote-unquote impeachments until we can get at least our hands on those other two accounts. There's a lot of things we can't talk about that we do know about that we're waiting to come out. So on Hunter and his father. So let's be a little bit patient on that.
Are you confident that there's enough time? I know it's relatively early in this Congress, but you know how these impeachment things get drawn out for months and months sometimes.
Well, just like Bobart showed us last week, I mean, we can do an impeachment in a matter of days, especially with Biden. That's an easy one. And we can get all the votes we need to push that one through. It's not going to go through the Senate. Of course, you're not going to get the president to sign off on it. But, you know, Jeff, the way this is going, I've said it from the very beginning. You and I have had several conversations about this. You know, I said that there would be a deal made with Hunter. It would be a slap on the wrist or, you know, a couple months at a country club somewhere, quote-unquote prison, as they would call it. And Biden is just going to step back and say something like, you know, I've been diagnosed with dementia or Alzheimer's, and I don't remember a bit of it. So if we're not smart and put this together, put it together properly and get all the bad characters that are involved in it, not just the president. We want everybody that's been involved in this. That's the direction I want us to go. So, again, just to impeach for the sake of impeaching, I just don't get it. I'll certainly vote for it, no doubt about that. But I'd like to see this other stuff we've got coming out.
Well, let me ask you this. Is it proceeding the way you're hoping it would? I mean, I don't think these privilege resolutions, I guess the one centering Adam Schiff did work out, but they're not the serious bites.
Well, that's the biggest fundraiser he's ever had in his life.
These aren't the serious bites of the apple, but the more serious ones, the ones you hear from Jim Jordan or Comer or any of those guys, are they proceeding in an acceptable way in your mind?
Yes, I think they are, and I think we need to follow their leadership. That's what I'm getting at. If Jim Jordan is heading that up, and Jim says, be cautious, let's don't move too fast, that's what we need to start focus on. You know, we don't need to run to get in front of cameras or run to get on the floor so our name's at the top of the list. We've got to be very patient in how this is put together. And following that leadership is part of it. Jim Jordan obviously is a no-brainer. Jim's a great guy, and he's great at what he does. Comer is, you know, he's a banker by education, so he understands those bank accounts. We've just got to get him time to compile that and get access to those other two accounts, because, you know, we're talking about the numbers are flying all over the place, but I heard 12 million, I think, was the last count, or 17 million. I think they found five more. What's the other two accounts going to have? How much are we looking at? Are we looking at another 17? Are we looking at more people that are involved in it?
Well, then that seems to be the question we're seeing. And I guess the only way you can find out answers and tell me, you know, maybe an impeachment inquiry, does it put you on a better investigatory track, if you will, and you know that now you're kind of focused on something, and you know, obviously Congress has subpoena power and all that already, but the way it works, people testifying, functioning sort of like a grand jury, I suppose.
Yeah, and I mean, that's just like with Hunter Biden stuff. They're not turning stuff over on Hunter because, you know, on the tax issues, because they claim there's still an investigation ongoing. Well, that's just a way to keep it sealed. You know, keep Jim Jordan and those folks from getting information. So we lose sight of some of the other things we need to be doing. I mean, appropriations. I've just got through a process. We've appropriated six branches of funding for the government. We have six more that will be coming up in the next 3 weeks. And those of us that are not involved in the judicial side of this, we're doing a bang-up job of financing, on, you know, pulling, reining money back. We cut 30% from some programs. We got a lot of surprise stuff for our friends on the other side of the aisle as far as funding and cutting off all these woke programs, and it's all beginning. So part of us has still got to work. We've got to keep the machine moving. So, but Jim Jordan, you know, we need to follow his leadership. Comer, we need to follow his leadership. That goes without saying.
Joined by Congressman Jerry Carl, the 1st Congressional District, here on the program. Russia coup that wasn't a coup. Any thoughts on that, the way that turned out?
That was 36 hours of pure confusion. I think the general, whatever his title was, that over the that they've given, you know, the right to move to a country and get out of the way, I think his life is useless. We'll read about him one day jumping out of a window or something. I think Putin, obviously it shows a lot of weakness on Putin's side. Putin was a spy. He wasn't a military leader. So he doesn't really understand the battlefield and how a battlefield is ran. And I think that when, you know, you hire a group of mercenaries, I mean, they're going to work for whoever pays them the most. I see this possibly happening again. Again, the mercenaries are going to work for the highest dollar. That's all they see and all they want. So it's going to be interesting to watch over there. I think it probably will help get us a little closer to resolving this war. Putin making a deal with Ukraine. I hope that the positive comes out of that. But it's been mass confusion for 36 months. I have not been briefed on it. They will not brief me here. If I was in Washington, I could get a briefing there, but I won't get a briefing here. My guess is there's a lot more to the story than what we know.
Congressman, the other big thing, we'll get a special session of the Alabama legislature coming up in a few weeks, redistricting, and obviously a Supreme Court decision. I know you're probably hearing a lot about it. It's probably going to have a pretty profound impact on your congressional district. How you feel?
Well, I certainly, again, I'm so disappointed in our Supreme Court decision on this. I mean, they're supposed to be conservatives, and I can't see, you know, we spend so much money and time telling people not to base your decision on the color of someone's skin, and that's what this is all about. It's all about the color of someone's skin. And they should have pushed back on that and pointed that out, but they didn't. So we've got to live with what's coming. So what's coming is a redistricting. We don't know right now if it's going to pit us against Barry Moore, who's a congressman in District 2 now. Barry and I are good friends. We're on a whip team together. It's never a good situation when you have to run and get a member on member. If it works out and Barry and I are not, chances are of not running against one another because of redistricting. If it's not us, then it's going to be Gary Palmer and Mike Rogers will be put in the same district together, so they will have to run against one another. That's really the only two options. The rest of it's just moving the lines. They want to pull about 105,000 of black population, which would be Pritchard or north part of Mobile County. That's what they're actually after in this lawsuit. They want to pull those numbers out and use them in another district outside of District 1. And I just hate giving up. You know, Mobile County is in my blood, obviously. So is Baldwin County, for that matter. But being a county commissioner is just kind of a special spot. I hate to give any of that up. But we'll have to do with whatever comes through. I've expressed my opinion. My opinion is the lines not be changed, and that's a no-brainer. But we'll just have to deal with it when it comes. We'll know probably in the next two and a half weeks where it's going to be, and then we'll launch our campaigns. Most everybody's waiting right now. They're waiting to simply figure out where their line's at so they can start their campaigns.
I mean, if you look at it, Congressman, the prospects of you representing Dothan, I mean, does that seem like a very foreign concept? What do you think of that that possibility? I mean,
well, what does Dothan and Enterprise have in common with Mobile? And Baldwin County, cotton, peanuts, cattle.
Right.
What else do they have in common? They've got obviously the Fort Rucker there.
Military.
Never remember the new name. Yeah, military.
We've got Coast Guard.
So we have a lot in common. It's not like it's going to be uncommon. You know, I've been in sales and marketing, had multi companies in Dothan and Troy and scattered all over Alabama. So I'm used to the travel part. I mean, driving to Dothan is 3.5 hours and, you know, nothing but pine trees, as you well know, running back and forth from Tallahassee.
Oh, yeah.
So that's not an issue for me. The traveling part's not. But we have a lot in common. There's no doubt. I mean, I'm working with on a project right now in Enterprise area to widen the road. Well, why would I do that? Well, Katie Brett and I were together one night. She started talking about it. I've got county commission background. I understand infrastructure. So I'm helping where I can to get this widening project done. So we have a lot in common for people to say, well, how can you represent the Wiregrass man from the Gulf, you know, the Gulf Shores area? Well, we're Alabama. We're representing the state of Alabama. Yes, we're representing our district. But what's good for the state of Alabama is also good for our district. So I don't have the mental changeover problems that everyone seems to have with that.
Well, I'm just you kind of wonder. I mean, I guess at one point Mobile and Baldwin County were split, and you sort of had that to some degree. But, I mean, it was a far, far different time. It was back when Democrats controlled the state. But, I mean, that looks like That doesn't look like that's a possibility, but
every county has different issues. Yeah, but every county has different issues. If you're in Escambia County, you're trying to get major grocery chains to move in. You're trying to get some infrastructure, some new roads. When you look at Baldwin County, my gosh, infrastructure problems in Baldwin County. You know, you've got your farmers. Oh, now Mobile County, you've got a huge farming ag in Mobile, as well as infrastructures too. And I guarantee you can take that over to the other new counties, whatever they wind up being, it'll be the same problems. So it's nothing new. It's something that's easily transferable in my mind. And we'll make it work, though, if that's the way it winds up being. And if we run against Barry Moore, we'll just run a good campaign, and we'll let the people choose who they think's the best for the job.
Yeah, well, certainly the time will come, but we'll find out here shortly. Congressman, we got to get out of here. You're always very, very generous with your time. I thank you for coming on, and we'll do it again soon.
Take care, Jeff.
All right, guys, we got to get a break in here. We will return. This is the Jeff Bohr Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Sweet potato pie, and I shut my mouth. Gone, gone with the wind.